Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's going on? Welcome into a game day edition of the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I'm Daniel Salerson. The Pelicans welcome in the Denver Nuggets tonight after finally having 2 days in between games. It seems like it's been a while for this team that has played the most games in the NBA, but they're back in action tonight to start a two-game homestand. They'll wrap it up on Friday against the Detroit Pistons. Jim Eichenhofer joins me as always, and joining us today to help preview tonight's matchup is Chris Dempsey, Nuggets reporter and analyst for Altitude Sports. Chris, how are you? Good to have you back on.
Doing great, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Of course, of course. Yeah, this Nuggets team, 11-12 right now. We'll talk about this daunting road trip, but Chris, kind of describe the, feels like the roller coaster ride of a season so far for this Nuggets team.
Yeah, and coming into the season, they were hoping for the best, but a lot of fingers crossed, but they knew that they weren't going to have Jamal Murray for a big chunk of the season, if not the entire season, due to ACL rehab. But then Michael Porter Jr. went down at the beginning of November. PJ Dozier went down with the season-ending ACL injury. Nikola Jokic has missed time, and Will Barton has missed time, and it has just been a situation where they thought they can hold on and tread water, and maybe that's what they're doing. You know, they're just under 500. But the injuries have taken their toll and inconsistent play. You know, I mean, the offense hasn't been where it needs to be by and large. And so they have, it's been a struggle to get to where they are right now.
Before I get to Jim, you talk about kind of the inconsistent play, and it kind of brings me to this road trip. They're on that. They'll be back in almost 2 weeks. They've already played 4 games, but they've had wins against the Knicks in the Heat, and then they've had losses to the shorthanded Bulls and then the Orlando Magic. Is that kind of how this season has gone, just how this road trip is going so far for them?
Yeah, generally. And it really is because of their own performance. You know, in Miami, they played great. They hit 23-pointers. You know, the offense looked, quite frankly, the way it looked last season before Jamal Murray went down. And that was the Nuggets team that we had gotten used to seeing in the last couple of seasons. But then you go to Orlando, you play a good first half, then you have no offense whatsoever in the second half. I mean, they had almost as many points in the paint as Nuggets had total points in the second half. And so you lose a game to Orlando, then you come back and you just obliterate the Knicks in New York. And again, the offense looks good. And then the Chicago Bulls hold you to 39% from the field. And it was just very much a struggle to get any points against the Chicago Bulls. So, yeah, I mean, that's, in a nutshell, the way the Nuggets season has gone. And when they were winning early on, guys, it was because their defense was really, really good. Their defense was top three in the NBA in terms of defensive efficiency, but defensive rating. But since that has fallen off, it has opened the door to now, because you're not scoring a ton of points, your defense is not also seeing you through. And so now you're picking up losses where you are still able to cobble together some wins early in the season.
Chris, you mentioned the injury absences of Porter and Murray, which, people knew that Murray was going to be out for a big chunk of the season. Jokic, as you said, missed some games. Unfortunately, the Pelicans can relate to not having a couple of their key guys out for, multiple games this season. But as this game is played, in New Orleans tonight, what do you think are some of the most important guys for the Nuggets in terms of how do you make up for not having Porter in the lineup? How do you make up for Murray? And obviously Dozier, I think, was an underrated player as well. Who are some of the key guys that the Denver needs to be able to win some games on the road and stay in this race?
Yeah, well, for the Nuggets, I mean, there's so much pressure. Let's just start with, this is the obvious one, and it's Nikola Jokic. I mean, but there's so much pressure on him, the reigning MVP right now, to perform every single night and to perform at a high efficiency level and a very high productivity level. So it does begin with him, obviously, having a great game. He's coming off a triple-double himself. But beyond that, I think Will Barton has to play well every night, you know, and, you know, he is the next most capable player of putting up big numbers on most of the nights. And so they need him to be an efficient scorer, an aggressive scorer. I really look for his shot. And on the nights that he has played really, really well, generally the Nuggets fare well in those nights. Now, beyond that, you're talking about Monte Morris, I think, is a player that needs to continue to shoot well. And he's a really good mid-range player, really has found his stroke there from the mid-range. And I'd say in the last week or so. So he's finding his stride there. They need point production from him. You know, the bench and Aaron Gordon has had a really good season. That's actually one player fairly consistently every single night out has played well, both offensively and defensively. They've asked more of him, you know, to get back to maybe some of the stuff that he was doing in Orlando as being a main scorer for the basketball team. So those four players, I think, are the key players. Their starting lineup means so much to them because the bench has been really touch and go all season long. And so the starters mean a lot. Those four players, I think, lead the charge.
You mentioned Jokic. I mean, I didn't even bring him up because it's almost like he's a given with this team that you know what he's going to do. And you know how great of a player he is. But what have you seen from him this season? It seems like, you know, obviously maybe the MVP talk has quieted this season, mostly because the team isn't, you know, in the elite record wise of the league. But I've heard other people say, you know, on different shows that you got to recognize the way that he's played so far this season is, you know, he's still at the same level he was at last year. What have you seen from him so far in the games that he has played?
Yeah, I think statistically he is. I mean, he's very similar to what he was doing last year when he won the MVP. And I think he does deserve respect for that. And I think maybe more so this year because he's the guy. There is no Jamal Murray. There is no. I mean, the other max contract players are not playing. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then the cast of players around him they've been good on some nights and they've not been good on other nights. And so he has definitely had to carry the loads productivity wise. And then he's had to lift all boats with him every single night. And, you know, that is a difficult task. It's a tall task to ask even for an MVP. And he has done that, you know, by and large this season. Obviously the Nuggets, you know, sinking below 500. A lot of that happened when he missed a bunch of games when he was injured, his right wrist was injured. So now he's trying to help the Nuggets get back to and then over 500. But I think from a productivity standpoint, he has been fantastic. I think from a leadership standpoint, he's been even better. And, you know, players who come to this team and experience what it is to play alongside him, they all say the same thing. You know, he's a serious player. He is a more of a vocal leader than I think most people understand. He has grown into that role. And he is as competitive as they come. So I love what he's put on the court. You know, it's, you know, the burden's on him to get this team to a certain level. And, you know, he's at least accepted that challenge every single night out.
It seems like this is one of the most unusual first 20 plus games we've seen in the Western Conference in a long time, where you don't have, you know, 6, 7, 8 teams that are mm-hmm. kind of separating themselves from everybody else. And you have this like really deep group of teams that are playing well. With that said, and based on the injuries and the obvious issues that Denver has had to deal with so far, that a lot of which are out of their control, what do you think is a reasonable goal for them right now? Like what do you think is the target as far as the regular season goes in terms of, you know, maybe where to finish in the West, the playoffs, the play-in, that kind of thing?
I think they're hoping to get in the top six to, you know, and avoid the play-in. I don't know if they can, you know, I don't know if that's a thing they can do. But if not, obviously they want to be in the play-in if they can't get in the top six. But I think to your point, the fact that basically you're looking at Golden State and Phoenix is, you know, the top level teams there. Utah's playing a lot better of late. It gives the Nuggets hope that if they can just stay the course and then maybe catch a hot streak, that they can get themselves back into a mix maybe for a top five. And, you know, I think, you know, their goal at the beginning of the season was to be, you know, in that 4-5-ish range to be able to get a first round home court advantage. But because, you know, of the injury situation and because of what they've gone through right now, I think top six is where certainly they want to fall. And the Western Conference isn't running away from them outside of those couple of teams, as you just mentioned. So I think it gives them a little bit of hope that they can, if they can just right the ship a little bit, they can find themselves in the mix and really make a run out of this. One, when they get off of this long road trip, and this is an extended road stretch for them. They only have home games the entire month of December. And that's going to stretch into January as well. Half of the games the first half of January, they only have two home games. So if they just get through this heavy road stretch, get into some more home games, have them be as healthy as they possibly can be at that point in time, maybe they can make a run.
And that heavy road trip continues tonight here inside the Smoothie King Center, game number 5 of a 7-game road trip for them, as they'll wrap it up with 2 games in San Antonio after. So looking at tonight's matchup, what intrigues you about it, Chris? What are you looking for out tonight between these two teams?
Well, as far as the Nuggets are concerned, can you guard Brandon Ingram? You know, I mean, he is a player, obviously, that gets away from a lot of teams. And for the Nuggets, there have been a lot of star players to get away from them in some of these games, especially lately as their defense has slipped and they're trying to get that piece of themselves back. The Pelicans, 4-3 in their last 7 games. So you're talking about a team that's trending in the right direction. And can you go in and on the road and play 4 full quarters? You know, what's been plaguing the Nuggets, is one of the things that's plagued the Nuggets, especially on this road trip, is they're fine in the first quarter. And quite frankly, they're fine most of the first halves. It just, when you get into that third quarter, it's been a real, real issue. And they've been outscored a lot in the third quarter of this season. And then into the fourth quarter. And so in the game in Orlando, they scored 20 points in each of the third and fourth quarter. And last in the game against Chicago, their third and fourth quarters, they just fell apart. And you can't do that on the road. You got to at least get to the game into the fourth quarter, then give yourself a chance to win in the fourth quarter. So from a Nugget standpoint, can they get this game into the fourth quarter? Can they guard, a top flight player in Brandon Ingram? And if they can do those things, then they'll give themselves a chance to win.
Should be a fun one tonight inside the Smoothie King Center. Pelicans and Nuggets tip-off set for 7 p.m. That's Chris Dempsey. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris A. Dempsey, Nuggets reporter analyst for Altitude Sports. Chris, I always enjoy when you come on. Great insight on the Nuggets, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Good stuff there from Chris Dempsey, analyst and reporter for Altitude Sports. Pelicans and Nuggets tonight, 7 p.m. Central. And Jim, look, it's been a while since I've had you on based on our podcast guests and availability. So we haven't had much chance to talk about things about the Pelicans and kind of what's going on around the NBA. And I was really glad he brought up the kind of the standings in the Western Conference. I know it's tough for us to discuss. You know, the Pelicans are right there at the bottom at 7-19. One, they've played the most games in the NBA at 26. But you're right. Besides Golden State and Phoenix, and you can probably throw in Utah there, 1, 2, and 3, 4 through 11, 12 right now. It's crazy whether you're in about 4 games back in the loss column. Pelicans only 5 back in the loss column of Portland. Again, still a long way to go, and they also have to string some wins together. But it's been crazy how they're the middle clump of the Western Conference. It's pretty wide open right now.
Yeah, Chris referred to this, and I think one of the questions I've had all season, because as Chris mentioned, you know, the 3 teams at the top, Phoenix and Golden State, I think, are in their own tier right now, but Utah is in kind of its own separate part of the standings where they haven't played the level of the top 2 teams, but clearly ahead of everyone else in the rest of the conference. So one of the questions I keep asking is, who is the 4th best team in the West? And I think it's changed hands a million times. And I think right now it's Memphis, and they've probably won 5 games in a row without Ja Morant. There's been a couple other teams. Dallas was in that spot for a little while. The Clippers were there. They got off to a good start. Denver, I think, started off well before a bunch of injuries hit them. But this is very unusual because, as I said to Chris, there's usually 7-8 teams, maybe more than that, that have established themselves as, okay, this team is going to be a lock and they're going to probably make the playoffs. And therefore, there might only be 1 or 2 spots available for everyone else. But the way it is now is just different than it has been in a long time. The play-in part of it, I think, makes it even more interesting in terms of how much things can change in the standings and that kind of thing. So it's been odd. And there's also a thing that people talk about, especially the last, I don't know, 5-10 years. People say you can tell who's going to make the playoffs after 20 games, because usually historically, if you look at the standings through 20-ish games, the top 8 teams make the playoffs that are in that group, you know, 80-90% of the time. But I think this year you can throw that out, because really, as you mentioned, there's not that much separation between 4 and a ways down the conference standings. So I think that part of it makes this regular season even more interesting in the West than it has been in a long time, just because, I mean, you can go from, when is the last time you could say that you could go from have a losing streak and have the 4 seed home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, and maybe not even in the play-in round in terms of dropping down to 11th. So, I mean, obviously some of these teams are going to get hot and there will be some kind of separation, you would think, but if not, I think the last part of the regular season will be just fascinating to see how much is at stake in terms of teams have the ability to move way up or way down in the standings with it being packed so closely.
Which also kind of goes to the Pelicans as far as their schedule for the rest of December. You know, a tough loss against a really good, I should say, really good playing Rockets team right now. They were on a 15-game losing streak and now won 6 in a row. But you're looking at this week as far as teams under 500 the rest of the way. You have the Nuggets tonight. You have the Pistons on Friday, Spurs on Sunday, Thunder next Wednesday. And then the Bucks is your first over 500 team basically 2 weeks from now, if my schedule is right, or 1.5 weeks, as I don't remember what day it is as we're taping this. But it just seems like, and I know the Pelicans are still waiting for Zion, but look, as Chris mentioned, the team is 4-3 and have faced some tough teams on the road, which they've beaten. So I feel like, man, stringing a couple wins together here, one this homestand, and then getting on the road and taking care of business against the Spurs and Thunder. I mean, again, a 3 or 4 game winning streak kind of changes everything.
Yeah, if you can string some wins together, I think you can start having the conversation of how far are you out of the 10th spot, which is the last play-in spot. The game Sunday was tough. It was frustrating because if you get that win, I mean, you're adding to the stretch of success that you've had lately. 4-3 in the last 7 is still pretty good, and obviously a massive improvement from the way they started the season at 1-12. But I mean, this next stretch coming up is all about trying to get wins against teams that are struggling and teams that don't have great records. I know I've complained a little bit here and there. I don't know if complain is the right word on Twitter about the Pelicans' schedule. I guess noting the difficulty of the schedule is a better way to put it. So you can sit around and say, man, they've had a really brutal schedule, and they have in terms of opponents and playing a lot more road games than home games. But if you don't capitalize on the schedule getting quote unquote lighter on paper, you know, those complaints are going to go out the window because you didn't take advantage of it. So that's what I think one of the main things to look at in the next few weeks. Although, you know, one thing I will say, not to counteract the point, but some of the teams that they have coming up, and Houston was the best example of this, started off really poorly, but have played much better lately. So it's not as easy, quote unquote, as maybe the overall record. The Spurs are another example of that, of a team that's been playing really well lately. They just won at Golden State the other day. They had a brief winning streak going, a good winning streak going before they lost a game on Monday. But I mean, that's been a big part of the season so far in the NBA. There's been a lot of teams that if you decided to render a verdict on after 10-15 games, you would be wrong right now, because this season has gone back in a completely different direction. And hopefully the Pelicans can say the same thing in a couple of weeks, that they were able to make the people who said that they were done when they were 1-12 look wrong by being able to string together a bunch of wins and get back in the mix.
No, you're absolutely right. And for a team like the Pelicans, they can't be looking at anyone thinking, oh, it's a easy win. I mean, no matter what the situation is, what their record is, it doesn't really, you know, anyone can win on any of your given night. You know, the Pistons are 4-19, but they've had 4 wins. I bet you all those teams that they played said we should have gotten them that night. So it should be interesting, to say the least. And Jim, something I'm also noticing, and tell me if I'm wrong in this, is, man, oh man, there are a ton of blowouts this year in the NBA. You're not seeing as many close games as you would like. What are you seeing with that? Is that just something that, you know, I'm noticing, or are you sensing, you know, whether it's because of injuries or other circumstances, that there are a lot more games that are far out of reach come the third and fourth quarter?
No, I think you're definitely right on the money with that. I mean, we can discuss what some of the factors behind that are. I've been saying for the last few years that as the three-point shot attempts go up, you're going to start to see a greater variance from game to game because, I mean, there's some nights that one of the best teams in the league goes 5 for 30 from three-point range, and one of the worst teams in the league that they're playing against shoots over 50% from the field or from three-point range, and that's why that the weaker team wins. So I think the streakiness that you're seeing within games and maybe from week to week for specific teams has something to do with that. I think one of the other factors I think is maybe injuries, or that there's been a bunch of key injuries, and that makes it so that the consistency for a lot of teams fluctuates a lot. So it's definitely true. Specifically for the Pelicans, one of the things that I noticed along the same lines, they've only played 9 games that are defined as clutch by NBA.com, which is the games within 5 points or less in the last 5 minutes. So this season they've had 9 clutch games. Unfortunately, they're only 1-8. Thank you, Devontae Graham, for that mm-hmm. one. So of the 26 games they've played this season, the 9 is basically 1/3 of their games that they've have been close. Last season, they played 39 clutch games out of 72. So my quick math tells me that that's over half of their games.
That's correct.
That they played that were clutch. So, I mean, you notice a huge difference. And I think it might not be as drastic for most of the teams in the league, the stats that the Pelicans have in terms of how frequently they've played in blowout games, either wins or losses, but it is pretty common across the league of why that is. And unfortunately, that probably means less exciting buzzer beaters and game-winning heroic highlights. But that's just one of the things that's happened so far this season. You see Memphis beat Oklahoma City by 73 the other game, and then Oklahoma City comes back and wins their next game. So, I mean, who knows? It's maybe we're going to start seeing more historic margins of victory from time to time with the way things are going. And I mean, there's a lot of factors, like I said, behind that, but it's definitely one of the things that stood out about this early part of the season.
Yeah, that Devontae Graham shot was the last time that the Pelicans have played in a clutch time situation. So I have some stats I've been tracking. A little trivia question for you before we end. Do you know who the leading scorer in clutch time is for the Pelicans this season?
You know what? I think it's Herb Jones because I actually looked this up the other day, a couple weeks ago maybe. Is it still Herb Jones?
It's still Herb Jones again, okay. Because they haven't played one since the Utah game.
Yeah.
And he has 11 clutch time points. Mm-hmm. He is the leader. Devontae Graham has played the most minutes in clutch time, but Herb Jones is your leading scorer. And I can also, I believe, give credit to John Schumann of NBA Stats, who also was tracking that at the time. That the Pelicans were talking about, or that they were talking about it. So, but yeah, a little trivia for you all. Herb Jones is your leading scorer in clutch time situations. Well, Jim, this was fun. Hopefully the Pelicans get a win tonight. Again, 7 p.m. Tickets still available, 504-525-HOOP or visit pelicans.com. We'll have another podcast for you on Friday previewing the Pelicans and the Pistons. You can watch tonight's game on Bally Sports New Orleans or listen on ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. And Jim will be on our post-game show on ESPN New Orleans to recap, hopefully, a win over the Nuggets. Jim, I appreciate the time. Good talking to you, man. Good catching up. I'll see you later on.
You too, Daniel. It's been too long. I was happy to get back into the mix and the lineup today. It was great speaking with Chris. I always enjoy talking to him. Great guy from Denver. So I think we're going to be talking a lot more now that we have some home games coming up here that I'll be in the studio. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. All right. I hope you all enjoyed today's podcast. Go Pels. And we'll talk to you on Friday in another installment of Pelican Podcast presented by SeatGeek.